You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Begin reading with verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there are knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. For when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. For now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, your mercy. We ask that you would reach down and touch this house with the power of your divine grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, he's going to get quick. I hope y'all aren't false prophets. Glory. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning how the Christian should celebrate Valentine's Day. Tuesday will be Valentine's Day. For those of you that's not aware of it, I knew a man one time, his tradition was very special. On Valentine's Day, he would take his wife to Walmart, they would go to the card section, and he'd pull cards out and read them to her. He talked about how that helped him save money. I doubt most of us would get away with that. But have you ever wondered how Valentine's Day really got started? See, approximately 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a priest by the name of Valentine. He lived in Rome. At that time, Claudius, the emperor of Rome, decided he wanted to get him a big army. So he wanted everybody to volunteer to be in his army to go out and fight wars. The problem were, the men did not want to leave their homes, their girlfriends, and their wives. And so Claudius decided to pass a law. And in Rome, he decreed that it was illegal for people to be married. Now, St. Valentine, as he became known to the Roman Catholic Church later, decided that was stupid, so he kept marrying people. But he had to do it in secret. And he would literally perform wedding ceremonies while he was whispering the words and listening to see if he hears soldiers as they would step on the steps outside. Now, I get back to that story in a minute because I want to keep you here, so I don't tell you the whole story, you won't leave. Glory. The first point of how to celebrate Valentine's Day, I think, is this. Stand up for truth and proclaim the gospel of God and his love. I think that's what Valentine was doing, and I'm going to use his story to give you the way we ought to celebrate Valentine's Day. Psalms 40 and verse 9 said, I have preached righteousness to the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. For I have not hid the righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed by thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Sometimes it's dangerous to stand up for God and the injustice and the hatred, the prejudice that comes against you. Sometimes it's difficult to oppose worldviews. Let's face it, everybody acts like they don't want the gospel. You know why I said that? Because if they ever start hearing the gospel, they'll want it. Hello? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul made this statement. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. So we can expect opposition when we talk to the unsaved. Our message is foolish to them. They think it's weird that we get up on Sunday and go to church and spend time singing praises to a God you can't see. But that's because they don't know him. And as the word of God says, they have been blinded by the God of this world. So they don't see what's going on. But I hear the words of a very blinded man who found Jesus Christ after working on a slave ship most of his life and being raised as an indentured servant. But John Newton finally wrote a song, said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I was found. I once was blind, but now I see. Why? Because when he saw that gospel, it became real to him. Could you say amen? under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. He explains in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It was the Holy Spirit and the power of the agape love that Jesus transformed a band of scared disciples into a group of men that it was said of them, they have turned the world upside down. Could you say amen? According to tradition, all of Jesus' disciples died a very horrible death, except for John. Glory. I mean, they were crucified upside down. They were speared. They had their heads cut off. They were shot full of arrows. And let's face it, they tried to kill John in a horrible way. They tried to boil him in oil. He thought he was in a jacuzzi. They took him out to an island with bad water, poisonous snakes, and the bones of the people that had been there before him. And they got back. Can you imagine him chiseling in rocks? Because that's all they had to write in. You call it the book of Revelation. But they got back, and he's over there with some stones going, get me home. I've got a bestseller, fellas. Amen. Glory. Oh, some of y'all missed that. They all went out under dangerous conditions to spread the gospel. Paul wrote the letter encouraging Timothy when he said, be not therefore, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You know what he said? He requires working for God as I'm a prisoner. But I'm also going to suffer all kind of afflictions. And therefore, if you come with me, you're going to suffer that because you're working in the gospel's sake. And people think, oh, if I preach the gospel, I'm not ever going to have a problem. I'm never going to have a trouble. I'm never going to have a trial. But yet people get killed for preaching the gospel. And somebody said, oh, if you're working for God, nothing will happen to you. I'm sorry, but I know good men that have died while they were preaching the gospel. But that shouldn't stop you. Because they died, and let's face it, the greatest thing can happen to a Christian is leave this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. What was it Mike Warnke said? Said, this guy come up to him, said, I want to tell you about Jesus. He was a satanic priest. He said, I put a gun in his stomach, pulled the hammer back, said, he looked at me, said, well, praise God. He said, I'm sitting there thinking I'm going to scare him to death. Said, I was a shortcut to where he was trying to get. Glory. Blew the poor boy's mind. He ended up getting saved to become a preacher. Amen. Now let's make one very thing clear. We're willing to tell people about Jesus, but we should never try to ram it down their throats. John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Unfortunately, many Christians think that renting people is ripping them because of who they are. If you make them feel like 10 pounds of sin on a stick, they ain't never going to get around you no more. Hello? Well, preacher, what you supposed to do? Love them. It's what Jesus did. Matter of fact, if you notice, they got mad at him because the religious folks wanted to spend time with him, and he was too busy sitting around with the sinners and the ungodly. Because he realized, one of them said, hey, what are you doing over there? He said, those that don't need a hospital don't need a physician. You know what he was saying? He said, you got so much religion, I ain't fooling with you. I'm going to go find somebody who needs something. Lord, come on, church. Well, preacher, what about their sin? Well, you don't love their sin, but you love the person. Hello? Someone said, what are you talking about? I don't have to love what they're doing, but I got to love that person. That means I treat them right. Come on, church. Amen. Some of you fall out with me, but I remember buying a bottle of wine in New York City and going to the Bowery and sitting down passing it around. Somebody said, well, why would you do that? Because they wouldn't listen to me unless they had something to drink. I can see somebody right now. I'm not giving you no more money. I don't care. I wasn't getting money from nobody then. I didn't starve. Glory. I'm sorry, but I knew if I was going to witness to them, I'd go out there and talk about Jesus and say, walk off. I walked up with a bottle of wine, handed one of them. I had a crowd. Glory. They started passing it around. He'd get to me. I said, no, I'm good. I just sit it on around some more. Glory. You say, what good did it do you? Four of those guys left that back alley with me, and the last time I saw them, they were members of the Evangel Temple Church of God in Lindenhurst, Long Island, because God helped me win them. Because I didn't walk down there looking and say, oh my God, you stink. You got all these problems. I walked in and loved them and showed them a God that loved them. And because of that, they became workable members of a congregation. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Back to the story. One night, Valentine did hear footsteps on the steps outside. The couple he was marrying escaped, but he was caught. He was thrown in jail, and he was told by the emperor, you will die. Step two, you got to die to self for the sake of others. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said that genuine love is a person that's willing to die for their friends. Genuine love is somebody that's willing to go the extra mile. When I talk to couples that are getting married, I waste my time when I ask this question because I know the answer before I ask. Are you willing to die for one another? Oh, yeah. I've told y'all this, but I'm serious. I told Frida. I hope I would, but don't bank on it. All my life, I've had a survival instinct. Somebody whips a gun out, I'm not going to guarantee her I'll stand there. I hope I do, but if that instinct kicks in, she'll not be on her own. Glory. And none of you know what would happen either. I know you run your mouth. But somebody put a gun in your face, you liable to have a whole different attitude about stuff. I hope I would. But listen, Jesus said that that's what it takes. However, do we have the opportunity to die to self? We want to present to many situations a sacrifice of want for the wants of others. In other words, sometimes it might not be I got to die. I just got to get rid of what I am so I can help others. Hello? I got to get rid of my agenda because my agenda is not important. Come on, church. Amen. I wanted a Mercedes all my life. Closest thing I ever got to it was a model. I used to ride around my Toyota, and I went, well, I want a Mercedes, but God understood this gets better gas mileage. It don't cost nowhere as much. Glory. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, again, it doesn't have to be confined to actually dying for another person. It can mean sacrificing what we want for the needs of others. It could mean I can just easily place other people above me. Hello? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are as Christ have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and the lust thereof. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. In other words, get your mind off the Joneses and quit trying to keep up with them. Hello? I don't know where we got the idea from the TV preachers that if we really got blessed, we'd be able to outdo everybody in the church. I know they don't say it that way, but that's what they're telling you. Well, if you'll pay your tithes, you'll be the richest person in town. You'll have the fanciest car. Nothing wrong with that. I know people's got money that are Christians. But if all I'm looking for is money, I'm in the wrong line of work. Come on, church. Let's face it. The guy we follow didn't even own a house. Huh? He had to borrow a donkey for him to ride into town. And when he died, they buried him in a tomb that belonged to somebody else. Of course, he didn't need the thing. He only used it for 3 days. Glory. I mean, I like his ideology. Why spend money on something I'm not going to need? Glory. Come on, church. If we crucify the flesh, we crucify our desires. Amen. The Holy Spirit within us persuades us to think of others. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God, a sweet-smelling Savior. You cannot walk in love and be selfish. And it's a problem we have in the church that the Bible tells us was going to happen in the last days. Men would do what? Be lovers of their own selves. What does that mean, selfish? Amen. But you cannot really love God and have the love of God in you and be a selfish person. And I've had people come in and say, what are you preaching on? Well, what's that going to do for me? Nothing. I'm not trying to do something for you. You're supposed to be saved. I'm trying to reach a lost and dying world. I'm trying to get you cranked up to help me do it. And so I'm not worried about making you happy. I'm worried about preaching the truth. And we need to understand, if the truth can't make you happy, you got a problem inside anyway. Come on, church. Oh, come on. That's good preaching. Amen. Back to the story. St. Valentine tried to be cheerful. Many young people came to the jail to visit him. They threw flowers, notes up to the window. They wanted him to know that they too believed in love. One of these young people was the daughter of the prison guard. Her father allowed her to visit him in his cell. They often sat and talked for hours. She believed he did the right thing in ignoring the emperor and performing marriage ceremonies. Point three, giving your life to Jesus. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, we claim to believe in Jesus, but are we saved? Hello? I said, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says, if I believe, I'm saved. That's right. But once you get saved, do you really love people? Because if you don't love people, you miss something in the transaction. Come on, church. Hello? You cannot really be a born-again child of God and not at least think about it when you see somebody died and let the question run through your mind, were they really ready? Or did they spend eternity without God? You can't think about it when you walk through the hospital and see somebody sick and ask yourself this question, are they ready to go? Are they ready to meet God? Because let's face it, they're on the very verge of it happening. And we need to have that thought. And it's because we love God. 1 John chapter 4 said, and he that loveth knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. If we're truly living through him, then we walk in love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love of God, and he hath to us, but God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If we have forgiven our lives, if we have really given our lives to Jesus, then we will abide in him. Hello? To give your life to Jesus means becoming a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. A truly born again Christian wants to please Jesus. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. You know what it said? It said, when I get saved, it's not hard to stay that way. I get so tired, people. I've been living for God 20 years. It gets harder and harder. It don't if you'll apply the problems, the products God's got to help you. You make it hard by closing your Bible and not praying and not acting right. And if you get in this Bible and read, it will be a light to your path. It'll help you walk. It'll help you talk. If you get led by the Spirit, he'll lead you into truth. It's not hard to live right. And the scripture said, if you love God, my commandments are not grievous. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. 1 John 3:23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So we believe that Jesus, Son of God, who came to save us through his death on the cross, and we choose to love one another. Hello? It's agape love. Love that desires nothing but the best for others. Finish the story. One day Valentine was to die. He left a note thanking her, the girl, for her friendship, her loyalty, and he signed it, "Love from your Valentine." That note was written and left on February the 14th, 269 A.D. That was the first Valentine that was ever passed. It has now become a tradition that on February the 14th every year, we pass out these notes to people telling them, I want you to be my Valentine, or telling them that we love them. And y'all know how it was. When we were in school, those that were popular got more Valentines than everybody else. Hello? There was always some kids didn't get many. And there'd be a couple didn't get none at all. Hello? Did you know the great thing about the gospel? God loves us enough to die for us, and he wants us to have what he has. He doesn't want anybody to do without a love song from him and a note from him. And just as that man in his dying day left a note, Jesus left us a note in his dying. Yet I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I shall live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Why? Because in him we have life, and life more abundantly. In him we have love, and love more abundantly. In him we have eternity, that we can live forever and forever and forever because of his love. Psalm 63:3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I lift up your name. Hallelujah. Amen. I read Psalms 86:15. This is in the English Standard Version. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and graceful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I hear the Romans 8. What shall separate me from the love of God? Is it famine or pestilence, persecution, distress, or nakedness, peril, or sword? He said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who hath loved us. And I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principality, nor any living thing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I hear about the word of God, and it tells me this, the very basis of living for God. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Stand with me all over the house. Glory. Love is the greatest thing we can possess as a Christian. It's the one thing that will last through all eternity. I think one of the greatest things a person could do on Valentine's Day is to either commit or recommit their lives to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could get people to realize that God loves them so much that if you're dealing with God, Valentine's Day is 365 days out of the year. It's not just one day out of the year that he loves people. It's not just one day out of the year that he wants to touch people's lives. But just that one day out of the year, if you could touch one person with love and change their life, what an awesome thing that would be for you. If just sometime you could look at yourself and say, wait a minute, maybe I'm not where I need to be with God. And you could say, hey, I want to make a commitment. I want to recommit my life to God because I want to fall in love with him again. I just want to know him. What an awesome thing that would be. I want you to pray with me right now. Everybody just bow your head. And I want you to just talk to God for a minute about where you are, what's going on in your life, what's happening with you. And I want you to take a long look and be honest with yourself and ask yourself, do I really love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my spirit? If there's any doubt in your mind where you are today, I want you to step out, come to the front of this building. I'm not going to take some kind of oath from you, but I got a God that wants to give you a permanent Valentine. He wants to wash away your sins and give you peace and joy. He wants to reinstitute love in your heart. If you've grown cold and indifferent with him, he wants to let that love shine in you like never before. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Father God, you said your grace is sufficient to touch us. And God, I believe you today. Lord, have your way in our hearts. Minister to us with your grace. Father, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And we ask you, God, to touch us with your glory and your grace and your power.